May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. You know, I forgot to tell the ushers to give everyone a pencil. And so if you don't mind, ushers, you know, give everyone a pencil. They have something to write today during the sermon time. So those of you who don't have, you know, please, they will give it to you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." When he had said this, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. God willing and people consenting, next Saturday, June 14th, Mr. Dennis Coleman, one of our own, will be ordained into the sacred orders of diaconate. It has been in the making for a long time. We are happy that finally it is happening. And Dennis this morning showed me the alb. Previously, some 25 years ago, our church has given to him, thinking that he was going to be ordained at that time. So it is about 25 years since he attempted the last time to become a deacon. You know, it is not just for, the ordination is not just for priests and bishops and deacons. In our outline of faith or catechism, the ministers of the church are listed with the ministry of laypersons first, then bishops and priests and deacons. It is in line with the biblical notion of the priesthood of all believers. Over the years, as a result of undue emphasis on the clerical orders of ministry, the priesthood of all believers gradually came to be almost forgotten by the faithful and by most theologians. Our reading for today gives us two separate and different accounts of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The account in John, in the Gospel according to John, sounds like a private one, with Jesus breathing on his disciples an infusion of the Holy Spirit with no visual or auditory effects. Whereas the one in the book of Acts of the Apostles happened in public with great drama. The account in John happened in the evening of the day of resurrection, whereas the one in the book of Acts is the record of an event that took place 50 days after the day of resurrection. Now, on the day of resurrection, on Easter Day, we find the disciples sitting in a locked room, downcast and scared, fearful of the temple authorities and Roman hierarchy. They were like fugitives on the run. Just imagine the horror they must have experienced when Jesus, who was killed and buried 3 days before, suddenly barged into the room through the wall into their midst. First thing Jesus had to do with them was to calm them down by saying, "Peace, peace be with you." Then he had to convince them that it was indeed he who was standing before them by showing his hands and his side. Once they were assured and affirmed, Jesus commissioned them to carry on the work of God's mission in the world. "As the Father has sent me, so I sent you." With that, Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit and gave them the ministry and authority of absolving any sins of any. By any measure, this was a private event between Jesus and his disciples. And now, unlike John's account of the private offering of the Holy Spirit, the event recorded by Luke in the book of Acts was public and open, involving thousands of people from world over. 50 days after Easter, the Jews were celebrating the Festival of Weeks, a day of great national religious significance, when Jewish diaspora from countries far and near are gathered in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit that day stole the show with a dramatic appearance and awesome display of light and sound, wind and fire. Moreover, like at the UN General Assembly these days, where when one delegate would speak in his or her language, all the delegates would understand it in their own language because of a translation device. Like them, all the people gathered in Jerusalem were amazed to hear messages spoken in their own languages. There were also some party poopers. They downplayed the significance by saying that these revelers were drunkards. They are filled with new wine early in the morning. That made old Peter all revved up and he started speaking. His maiden speech, he never spoke before. And he made a long, long speech. It was quite effective. And when he was all finished and done, according to Luke, 3,000 people were baptized that day, on the first day, on the first Pentecost. 2,000 years ago, on Pentecost, Christianity became global. What had been up until then a private offering, that day became a public offering. It was on that day when the 3,000 people were baptized and were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the laity was first ordained for ministry. Just think about all those people who came from different parts of the world and who witnessed all that happened in Jerusalem and heard Peter's sermon, going back to their own places, their own countries, and starting their own cell groups and house churches. The phenomenal growth of Christianity during the first 300 years, when persecutions and martyrdoms were at its peak, is attributed to the work of the laity, the baptized Christians. I am really struck by Peter's assertion that what people were witnessing on that first Pentecost day was what predicted by Joel, Prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and or your old men shall dream dreams. Fast forward 2,000 years, here in Phoenixville, how are we, the members of St. Peter's Church, part of this great movement unleashed on that first Pentecost? We who were baptized and have just renewed our baptismal covenant at the beginning of the service are also ordained for ministry according to the varieties of gifts we have been blessed with. We are all ordained for ministry and mission of God in the world through our church. Deacon Joe and myself serve in the commission of ministry for the diocese. At the pre-postulancy conference a week ago, we interviewed 6 candidates who wanted to serve the church as deacons or priests. One of the questions we asked each candidate is, how do you imagine your ministry as a deacon or as a priest? Or in the words of Prophet Joel, are you one of those who prophesy, see visions, or dream dreams? How do we envision ourselves engaging in God's great work of reconciling the world to Himself? What is our vision? What is our dream? Do we see ourselves as laypersons involving in this great enterprise? Don't we want to be part of something bigger than ourselves? Give us our life meaning and purpose. Do we want the fire? Do we want that flicker of flame given at our baptism to burst gloriously into a burning bush of creativity and potency of love beyond our wildest dreams? Friends, we as a church are really at the cusp of God doing something new with us, something great with us. God wants each one of us. He asks us where we are in our relationship with Him in this enterprise, and how are we going to be part of what God is doing in the world? How are we going to be part of it? Part of what God is doing in this world. And God can't do anything without our permission, our consent. And our answer, I pray, should be, here we are, Lord, send us. In your bulletin today, you see an insert. I want you all to take that insert and start writing, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. I want all of us to just let go our fears, our apprehensions, just loosen ourselves, become creative, let go all the negativity that we have, all the cynicism and the critical nature of our approaching things. Become willing to think like children and dream like children and relearn how to question our assumptions. We need to let go our fixations. All fixations crucify. Who says our congregation can't grow? Why do we assume people in our neighborhood won't just join us to worship on Sunday morning? Why do we assume that some people in our community have to be poor and homeless? Is someone suffering in our community from poverty, is it not because we are suffering from poverty of the spirit? If you are not already involved in one of the ministries or missions of the church now, let us ask the question, how long can we stand on the sidelines and say, well, I am not called. I am not involved because I am not called. And if you are already involved in one ministry or another, let us ask, what more can I do? I still have some more time left, or I can reorganize myself or reprioritize my use of time a little better and come up with more time to devote myself to what God wants me to do in the world. Am I being called to organize our coffee hour or our fellowship? Am I being called to sing in the choir, to serve in the property committee? How do I contribute to the church in giving and making a pledge to support its work? Write in your insert how God might use you in God's mission in the world. how God might use your church in God's mission in the world. Once you write it, fold the paper, and you don't have to put your name if you don't want to. And then place it in the offering plate when it comes to you. I will have these responses that you give today will be printed on a big board and place it here in the church under the heading Our Hopes and Dreams in God's Mission in the World. Our hopes and dreams, our involvement in God's mission in the world. Always, always remember what Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you.